The dove? Check. The bat? Check. The Alamo? Check. The drinking? Check, check. Yeah, they're all there. And of course they're there. They are a part of the Ozzy Osbourne legend. It's not just about the music, which continues actually to be good. His last album with Andrew Watt was just fabulous, in my view. And he continues to be a great performer, both live and on disc. But it's not just about the music, it's about the legend. And that's what this documentary, exec produced by his wife Sharon, and his manager Sharon, is all about. And it is a redemption story, because it's about the first two albums that Ozzy Osbourne produced after he was unceremoniously dumped, then brought back, then dumped. Stories differ from Black Sabbath. And it's really sweetly, nicely, calmly done. What this is a behind the music album with a bit more, because it's not just about the music. First of all, you've got to get the Talking Heads right. And here, they are right. Bill Ward, Lemmy, Nikki Sixx, Zakk Wylde, Stevie Vai, Rob Halford, and more. This is great to see. We do get the history of just right at the end of Sabbath, and it's Bill Ward who's talking about that, and right that he should, being so affected by that. And also, he was Ozzy's mate. And there are rumours that he was the one who had to do the deed. We don't know about that, but there are rumours about it. And you know, after that, and he has such honesty, Ozzy Osbourne, this is one of the reasons why we love him so much. He has such honesty because there's no point in living his life in the darkness. He has lived his life and made mistakes in the light, so it's important that he owns those mistakes. And he does. He has a real, down-home, honest, and consequently very humorous take on what's happened to him. Things happened by mistake. The biting of the doves happened in the moment. The biting of the bat happened in the moment. The peeing on the Alamo happened in the drunken moment. And this is one of the reasons why I think he's so effective. He's a survivor too, and it's something we never expected. So we have the first part of the documentary being his ejection from Sabbath and his belief that that was it. As he said, I was in a hotel, lots of drink, lots of drugs, pizzas, lots of food. He thought, this is the final thing. So, you know, he's very honest about this could be it. And I might have to do something else, so I'm going to live it up for a bit and see what happens. And he's, of course, helped and guided and saved. And he's very honest about that too, by Sharon, who wanted to manage him and wanted to be with him and got him back on the straight and narrow. She saw him at his worst, and then the subsequent worst probably wasn't as bad as the original worse. And we talk about him coming back with the first album, with the Blizzard of Oz album. What we do get is quite a lot around creating the music with Randy Rhoads. And of course that's important. But what we don't get is him with other band members, because we have had an issue with bassist Bob Daisley and with Lee Kerslake, who sadly passed fairly recently. And there was, I think, a court settlement around royalties. The albums were subsequently re-recorded without them to expunge them from history. And they are expunged from this documentary. They're never mentioned. It is a bit of a shame. It's understandable. But they are part of that Blizzard of Oz history. That wouldn't have happened if they weren't there. Not a lot of the music is talked about. Quite a lot, he's sitting behind a console listening to the music. Quite a lot is him listening to parts of the music and just rediscovering that music. It's a lovely bit where they just look at the melody of one of the tracks, and the guy who's with says, and that gentleman's Kevin Churko, producer, says, oh yeah, a melody, high. And he said, yeah. Fucking hell, always high. It's lovely. And it's quite sweet that a lot of the behind the music pieces are about people who remember that music well, can give us some insights. This is actually about Ozzy rediscovering that music. He remembers stuff about it. For instance, this is a church choir. Oh yeah, real stuff. You know, this is real strings. You know, it's really important that he rediscovers this. And on occasion, there is stuff that he'd not heard before. For instance, when the tape kept running and Randy Rhoads kept playing, and nobody had heard that before. There's a segment of him doing a show that he'd never seen before, and he thought he'd seen everything. And there's a lovely scene where he is watching that on TV and can't quite believe, and is misty-eyed about what he'd done in the past. So it's a combination of this music was great to make, mixed with, as you might expect, look at the legacy and look at where this fits. Stevie Vai gives it some great context, you know, and talks about that's the first time when a solo come into a piece of music that I felt genuinely scared. You know, these people are all very sweet. Lemmy's lovely. Rob Halford really talks Ozzy up. This is really important and quite right. So it's a combination of the music we made, which you don't get a lot of in this documentary. It's 41 minutes or so. And look at that legacy. It's the stories that take up a lot of this time. So it's the stories of going to see the record company execs and taking a couple of bats along, a couple of doves along, bats come later, doves along as symbols of peace, and him biting the head off one of them just for something to do or in the moment. And the bat situation when he used to throw meat out to the audience and they would bring pigs' heads, and someone, you know, eventually the crowd started bringing bigger things, massive pieces of meat, and someone threw a bat on stage, which he thought was, of course, a joke shot bat. We know this story. Bit it, looked immediately over to the wigs for Sharon, who couldn't believe it because of the rabies, so he had to have 20 shots. All these stories, the story about him dressed up in his wife's green dress because she'd stolen his clothes to stop him drinking, going out and drinking, so he put one of her dresses on, went out for it to drink and wanted a wee, went against a wall, which happened to be the Alamo, was put in the slammer with someone who just murdered his wife. He's wearing a green evening dress. He thinks this won't really end well. All of these stories, you know, are what make up this documentary in a way. And it would have been nicer to see how did we piece together this music. To do that, though, you've got to talk about other members of the band, and that probably isn't going to happen in this situation with a production that's controlled by Ozzy Osbourne's family and manager. And that's a shame. But you do get quite a lot of the information about, you know, Randy Rhoads was an extraordinary talent. Someone who liked rock music, but liked classical music too, wanted to become to study classical guitar, was perhaps getting a bit sick of the shenanigans by the time of the second album. And of course, the film ends on a very sad moment with his death. It's quite right that it ends at that time, and that you see Ozzy listening to one of his pieces and being misty-eyed and upset about that. And of course, D is a wonderful piece of music, a wonderful little sketch. What you also get is the sense that the first album was recorded in a rush, got the band together, recorded in a rush, those songs tumbled out. And by the time he got to the second one, Diary of a Madman, which is the lesser of the two albums, I believe, but I mean, you're talking about a scintilla here, you're talking about an iota, a jot, a tittle. These are two great albums. By the time of that second album, he had had time to connect with Randy Rhoads, and they were doing a lot more together, and they were opening out, and the stage set was a big castle stage set, you know, and all of that. I think it's the best stage set he ever had. So there's a sense of we could open that out, we could move on if that hadn't been so cruelly ended by a terrible tragic accident. So this is a surface piece. It's good to spend time with. Ozzy Osbourne is always fun to listen to and see because of his honesty. The Talking Heads are what you might want. No one provides us with any kind of insight, really, apart perhaps from Stevie Vai. But they have a love for Ozzy Osbourne, and that's right. And, you know, it doesn't give you the music, but you can go to other places for that. What it does do is it gives you the context of the time and the type of man and the rock and roll trouble and all of that. And it does tell stories, so it's got a lot of entertaining, even though you've already heard those stories. Always good to hear those again, particularly from the horse's mouth. This is not a bad piece of work, but it could have been a lot more. Maybe an extra half an hour on the music would have really made it something very, very special. But again, you'd probably have to talk about those other band members. I would like to have heard the whole story about getting the album together. It's rather the first album, it's rather skated over. But fun to spend time with. It's a 3.5 ramble rating out of 5 because I wanted more music. But you know, it's great to celebrate a talent who is still here and is still producing great, effective, hard rock. Well done, Ozzy. Here's to the next 10 years. Ta-ta.